Georgia, unfortunately, Clare Lancha are Capital Irish, Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Hope you're having a great Metairie Key weekend. Can't believe it's middle of July already. Today's show is going to be the usual mix of talking about what's happening of Irish interest here in the Wellington region, looking at some of the news and sport back in Ireland, playing a few tunes along the way. But first up, I suppose I wanted to kind of acknowledge the weekend that we have in our celebration of Metairie Key on Friday. You know, the extra holiday that's been added for the last couple of years here in New Zealand. And one of the things that I was, you know, thinking about in terms of getting ready for the show and doing some of the research was looking at how does the celebration of Metairie Key here compare to how the kind of star systems and the constellations are viewed through Irish mythology. And it's kind of very strange because, you know, I'm a big fan of history and big fan of looking through mythologies of other countries, Greek, Norse, the Celtic ones, the Irish mythology. But there's very little mention of the stars in Irish mythology. Of course, you know, familiar with the Greek stories, a lot of the legends kind of ended up being immortalized in the constellations, in the stars. So we've got all the different star systems. Of course, probably the most common one, North and Southern Hemisphere, is Orion, because everybody can see it quite clearly in the sky. But yeah, there's very little mention of the stars in terms of Irish mythology, and I'm wondering if maybe part of the reason why it's important for Maori and Pacifica is because it has such a huge kind of navigational and you know, seafaring tradition for thousands of years, and it's really impressive when you look at stories like I suppose what were captured in the movie Moana, but looking at how the Pacifica, how much travelling they did over such huge distances a long time ago, and then settled down and kind of stopped travelling after, you know, so much seafaring they'd done over that time. But again, looking back at the Irish stories, and it doesn't seem to have made much of an impression on Irish stories. I mean, very much more so in Irish mythology is the place names and how all the different hills and valleys, lakes, rivers, everything has got a story that goes with it. And of course, some of the deities of the old Irish stories and the Tuatha Dé Danann and all those stories kind of talk a bit more about the kind of the sun and the moon possibly rather than about stars. But it does seem a bit strange how it seems a bit of a lack or a gap in Irish mythology, how we don't actually have those stories. But seeing as we are speaking of seeing as how we are speaking of stars, I think we will have a song from an Irish artist, and it's got a bit of a star theme. We're going to have a listen to Galileo.
Galileo fell in love as a Galilean boy, and he wondered what in heavens, who invented such a joy. But the question got the better of his scientific mind, and to his blind and dying gaze, he looked up high and often sighed and sometimes cried. Who puts the rainbow in the sky? Who lights the stars at night? Who dreamt up someone so divine? Someone like you and me, them. Love funny questions now and then. But just remember the alternative, for I remember when I was lonely and unhappy, and my lips were cold as ice. But you kissed me, and good heavens, now I'm here in paradise. So if ever I'm not kissing you or looking in your eyes, I won't be blind and I won't cry. I'll look up high and gladly sigh and thank the God who puts the rainbow in the sky, who lights the stars at night. Dreamt up someone so divine, someone like you, and made them
Declan O'Rourke there with Galileo. So I don't know if you've been following the news back in Ireland, but I've been fascinated by the story of the scandal around RTE and the payments to Ryan Tuberty. It seems to have unearthed a whole culture of some dodgy dealings and some strange financial goings on. I think it might have come about as a result of an audit this year, and just kind of the quick breakdown of it was some audits found that there were some irregular payments being made by RTE to Ryan Tuberty, who stepped down from presenting the Late Late Show earlier on this year. But the payments were, I think, in excess of €345,000, which is quite a chunk of money. It's probably over $500,000 New Zealand dollars, I would imagine, over the last few years. And as well as that, then more investigations found out that the director general and then some more of the board were kind of spending money on taking their partners on some jollies and dipping into the RTE funds. This is at a time, of course, when there's been a lot of there's a lot of focus on the cost of living and how everything is expensive. And remember, of course, that in Ireland the television license is compulsory. It's legally enforced by the government, and you are expected to have a television license or you could face fines or possibly jail. So one of the things that's been come out of it, I suppose, in the last week is that a number of judges around the country are throwing cases out of court where, you know, people have been brought in front of the judges on charges of not having had their TV license, and some judges are saying that they can't in good faith pass on sentences to people for not paying a TV license when the money has been squandered by the board at RTE. One good thing that might come out of it is the getting rid of the TV license, or looking at how that actually money is being used, because even though there are a number of television channels available to the population of Ireland now, of course, with the satellite TV and digital streaming and everything else, all of the money the only TV channel who actually makes money from the TV license is RTE. So, you know, it's noticeable, I suppose, that they've been using what is basically taxpayers' money, and using money that's been provided from TV license payments to and have not really been careful with it. So, unfortunately, this show has been recorded before Ryan Tuberty and his agent go before the Oireachtas committee. So there's been some interesting revelations, I suppose, coming out of those committee hearings over the last few days, over the last week or so. And I think probably later on tonight, I'm recording this earlier in the week, but during the week Tuberty and his agent are going to be interviewed by the Oireachtas, and I think that might be an interesting one to have a look at and see what he says. Of course, I don't think Tuberty himself has done anything illegal. morally questionable for sure, but I think the focus probably is back on the board and on the DG at RTE, and I think what's her name, Dee Forbes, I think has had to step down from her role there, and maybe some more heads might follow after that. So I think it might be appropriate to have a listen to this next song. This is from Aaron Dillon. Aaron, I think he hails from Drogheda, but I think he's based in Cork at the moment. And this song is called Brown Envelope.
Well, I'm so good at talking, I know all the big wig words. Educated madman, born to rule the world. Of all the words I know, there's only one I need. The only one I heed is three. So leave me alone in a brown envelope, and I'll happily oblige, happily oblige. When I was a young boy, I was nurtured and I was fed, and they pulled up my open mind and closed mindedness instead. How I've come a long way from where I'm from. They've given me a promotion, so now I can drop the bomb. Leave me a note in a brown envelope, and I'll happily oblige, happily oblige. Now I'm happy killing, drilling, oil spilling, sinning, then spinning, chasing younger women. Well, I got the shock of my life when I heard that my wife took all the desire and ran away with my intern.
But I won't work for free. There's one word I don't understand. It's in your dictionary. T-R-U-T-H spells bullshit to me.
To sports news now. Not a lot happening with the Wellington and Hutt Valley GAA club. They're in their kind of off season during the winter. Looking at the GAA events back in Ireland, we're kind of getting to the business end of the championships in both football and hurling. So there's a couple of close battles last week between Kilkenny and Clare. So Kilkenny were victorious in that one. Actually, maybe Limerick kind of were a bit more comfortable winners against Galway. So that sets up a very interesting final between Kilkenny and Limerick. Kilkenny have been going pretty well this year, but Limerick, of course, have been winners for the last few years. So that's going to be a great final coming up in a couple of weeks' time. And then the football, we're into the semi-final stages. The less said about Mayo's performance against Dublin in the quarterfinals, the better. But Dublin will be playing Monaghan this weekend, and Kerry are playing Derry, I believe. And the winners of those will be in the All-Ireland football final this year. So it's shaping up like it could be another Dublin and Kerry final, unless the Ulster teams can can pull off a shock. Ulster football has been pretty strong this year, so a lot of the Ulster teams made it into the quarterfinals. So it'll be should be some good matchups there over the next couple of weeks. If you get a chance, you should have a look at getting your GAA Go subscription and catching some of the action on there. Also, what's coming up, I suppose, in New Zealand and Australia, starting on the, I think it's the 20th of July, which is next weekend, or sorry, I think it's Friday of next week, we have the FIFA Women's World Cup, and of course some of those games are going to be played here in Wellington. So unfortunately, the Irish team who have qualified will not be playing any games in New Zealand, unless they happen to be in the latter stages in the knockout games, where there could be some of the games here. But in the group stages, we won't be seeing them here in New Zealand. But there are some cracking games being lined up across New Zealand, and if you get a chance to get along to see some of those, I think it'll be a great opportunity. I think that the biggest draw for the Wellington games is a matchup between the USA and the Netherlands, I believe, which is, I think it's played at like about 1 o'clock on a Thursday in a couple of weeks' time. But tickets have been selling very well for that game, and I think they might be sold out, or there might be people on waiting lists for that one, because obviously USA are one of the stronger teams. You know, they've won the competition fairly recently, and they've got a pretty strong squad. So I think a lot of Wellingtonians will be getting along to look at that. Myself and the family will be trying to get along to a game. I think we got tickets for Sweden versus South Africa. I think that's coming up on a Sunday in a couple of weeks' time, which is at a sort of family-friendly time. But have a look at the fixtures on there. Check out the FIFA website and see if you can get some tickets for that. I think it'll be, like I said, it's a great opportunity to see some top-class women's football in this part of the world. So we should make the most of it, and we wish the best of luck to both the Irish and the New Zealand football teams. And we'll see how they get on. So I think we will probably take our next piece of music. And I think we will listen to maybe Bellex One, Rocky Took a Lover.
Down the street. time for you. And then I'll burn for you. I'll shine for you. That's what I'll do.
Realized after playing that song that there is also a reference to looking at the stars in there, so I guess that's going to be the theme to our show for today, or what's left of it, as we're not far from the end. Other news this week is it's also we had the 12th of July commemorations again this week. I'm not really going to get drawn into too much of the political side of that, because it's obviously a bit of a still a tricky subject, but I have been reading up on the history of 12th of July and the Battle of the Boyne, and all of the lead up to that. It's a fascinating period of Irish history, or even just world history, because it had such a massive impact on Western European geopolitics, I suppose, for a long time that came after. And obviously we're still kind of seeing some of the effects of the battle, or that period of history, which happened back around 1690. It's definitely worth looking into, because it really kind of does, like I said, shape a lot of Irish history from that time on. There was obviously a bit of resurgence with King James II trying to get his throne of England back from William of Orange, who was his nephew and also his son-in-law, because he had married James's daughter. But I suppose the battles in Ireland were a bit of a proxy war, because obviously, like I said, James trying to get back on the throne in England, but also at the same time there was a war between England and France, and I suppose war all over Europe at the time. One of the things that I hadn't realised until fairly recently is that I suppose the Holy Roman Empire, as it was at the time, was very fragmented. But there was an alliance at the time of rulers, which included a division, I suppose, of Catholic Rome, who were aligned with William of Orange. So even though the battle, I suppose, was largely kind of seen as a Catholic versus Protestant one, with James on the fighting the battle in Ireland, as he had support from the Catholics there, and William of Orange obviously on the Protestant side. But at the time, like I said, there was a war between England and France, and the war in Ireland, I suppose, was a bit of a proxy war between England and France as well, because the French had sent some troops. And again, when you look at the history of the battles of the Boyne, but also of Ockham, because I suppose the other thing is that in the sort of pre-Gregorian calendar, the Battle of Ockham was probably the more decisive victory in terms of a defeat, but the Battle of the Boyne was kind of preferred as one to commemorate, because William of Orange was there in person. So when the Orange Order was formed in 1795, they chose to commemorate the Battle of the Boyne, even though it was a bit of a mess, and the soldiers, like James, had sent his best troops off in the wrong direction, and in a bit of a farce, the two of the main forces, I suppose, of that battle kind of couldn't face off against each other, because one of them was up on a hill, and there was a ravine separating them from the army they were going to fight below. So those two forces basically set out a chunk of that war. But yeah, like I said, it's a fascinating period of history. Interesting that effectively the Catholic or Rome, it basically ended up supporting the Protestant side, who won and eventually kind of shaped the sort of religious. It's the religious ascendancy of Protestantism in Ireland for a couple of hundred years. So they were sort of architects of their own downfall. So there's a lot of stuff going on in there. It's quite fascinating. Again, if you get a chance, I would definitely recommend you have a look at it. But, you know, we're coming up to the end of our show. We're going to play out in a few minutes. Or sorry, just we're going to play out shortly with another song by The Frames. We'll play you out with Star Star. But just want you to enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Hope you have a great day. Hope you're having a great weekend. And a quick sneaky shout out to my son, Carrick, who had a birthday this weekend as well. So it's long a fall, and we'll play you out with The Frames. So yeah.
Star, star, teach me how to shine, shine. Teach me so I know what's going on in your mind. 'Cause I don't understand these people saying the hill's too steep. Well, talk and talk forever, but they just never climb. Turn forever, but no rest will they find. Star, teach me how to shine.
Been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.